Zok the Gemara on Sota, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. My plan is, by the way, to try to get until Gimel Amud Beis, it's like around 8 or 10 lines from the top before the Bechina, which means we're going to try to move a little more quickly. So let's go. Tanit Ve'Reb Yishmael. Mipnei Ma'ha'emina Torah Eid Echad B'Sota. How come the Torah believes Eid Echad B'Sota? Again, right, we said that Eid Echad B'Sota means one Eid who says what? Tachlas, Chevra. What's the one Eid saying?
That they saw her becoming
Tameh. Right, Nitma'ah. The one Eid says that it's not an Eid of Kino, it's not an Eid of Stira, it's one Eid of Tuma. So the Gemara has a Kasha. How come the Torah believes Eid Echad B'Sota? The answer is Sharaglayim Ladova Share Kinola Vinistira the Aid Echon Meida Shahitameya. Right? Because it's Raglayim Ladovar, in other words, there is good reason to assume that it actually happened. Since there was Kinui and there was Stira, so come on, Chevra. In all likelihood, she did it. So that's why we believe Aid Echad, despite the fact that we ordinarily would not believe Eid Echad, semicolon, period, end of this brief Gemara. Problem. There's a machlekes hatanoyim in Bava Metzia Kuf Tesvav and elsewhere about whether darshinan time adakra. The Torah says that I'm not supposed to take losachvo beged almana. Know that if a person lends someone money, you lend an almana money, let's say it's a man, because it becomes a little more like risque that way. So a man lends money to an almana. So usually when you lend money, you take some item as a mashgon, some item as a surety to make sure that you'll get repaid. So if you have an almana and she only has like a nightgown and one dress, so obviously she'll give you her dress at night and she'll give you the nightgown during the day to make sure you get repaid. And the Gemara says, the Torah writes, Lo safu beged almana. The Torah says, don't take the beged almana because it's going to be Mesi'a Shem Rabbi Shechein Oseha. Everyone's going to say, what the heck is going on here? Right? Every day she's bringing the nightgown to this guy. It looks really bad. Right? So there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Well, does this apply if the almana is a wealthy woman who actually owns more than one nightgown and more than one dress? So that's Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, which is called Darshinan Taima Dekra. Do we try to figure out why the Torah says it? And as a matter of halacha, do we paskin that Darshinan Taima Dekra or not? We don't darshin on time of Dekra. Excellent, Sophia. Right? We are not darshin on time of Dekra. In other words, the simple understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much smarter than we are. Ki lo machshevosei machshevoseichem. We can't really figure out what the Ribbono Shel Olam meant. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, lo sachvo beged almana. So yeah, you think that's the reason, but maybe there's a bazillion other reasons out there. So therefore, we assume that even if it is an almana who is a wealthy woman, still the iser applies. We pass in lo darshinan taima dekra. So comes along the Mordechai in Bava Kamma. Rebbe Kiva Eger is mitzayin it over here in the Gilyon Hashas. The Mordechai was a Jew named Rabbi Mordechai ben Hillel. He was killed in the Rheinfleisch massacres of 1284. When a lot of Jews in the Rhineland were killed. He was actually one of that last tekufa of purely German Rishonim, who had no exposure to Rishonim in France. Since Dr. Kanderfogel like hired me to give the shiur, I feel like I have to throw these little tidbits in every now and then. But the Mordechai asks Akasha, what do you mean? Mipnei ma'hamina Torah eid echad b'sota. What do you mean, why? Isn't that Darshinan Taima Dekra? How can you ask a kasha? Why does the Torah believe Eid Echad? Right? It doesn't matter why. It's a Gzeres HaKosav, right? The Gzeres HaKosav, the Gemara Beis Amud Beis, learned from the Pasuk, that the Eid Ein Ba, the word Eid means two Eidim, you don't have two Eidim, meaning you have one, etc. So it's a Gzeres HaKosav. Why are you telling me Mipnei Ma'ha'emina Torah? That's the Mordechai's question. So what does the Mordechai answer? Temi? You're just looking at me?
So
maybe sometimes we are Dorish time of the Kra. That's what you're suggesting?
You asked for an answer? I don't know.
No, it's not. It's not a terrible idea that sometimes sometimes we are. Sometimes you are Dorish time of the Kra. The Pashtus is we're never Dorish time of the Kra, though. And the Mordechai is bothered by this kasha, and the Mordechai kind of tries to deflect it. The Mordechai basically says, well, when the Gemara says, we're like trying to give like some rationale behind it, but it's not really based on the din of raglayim ledavar, it's really just the gezeirat hakasav. Now, pause, stop, let me give you my shtickle Torah over here. If you remember, in our youth, we had a machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi about when we say that Eid Echad of Tumah is Ne'eman, does it have to be that the Eid Echad of Tumah is within that same stira, or can the Eid Echad of Tumah not be within the same stira? Rashi, in at least three places, said that we only believe the Eid Echad of Tumah if the Eid Echad is saying that she was Nitmeis during the Stira when you had the Eide Stira. But if the Eid Echad is at any other time, according to Rashi, the Eid Echad is not believed. Remember this? It was a long time ago, so it's okay if like you shake your head that you don't remember. I won't have any negative feelings because I didn't remember until like last night when I reviewed the Gemara. According to Rashi, Eid Echad is only Ne'emon during the same Stira. According to the Rambam, the Eid Echad is Ne'emon all the time. Whenever there's Eid Echad of Tumah, the Eid Echad is Ne'emon. It doesn't have to be in the same Stira. The Rambam has a much broader Ne'emonos that he gives to the Eid Echad. Hanir lofi ani estaiti. If you hold that the Eid Echad is only Ne'emon during that Stira, so you're really working with raglayim ledavar much more, no? During that, what's the idea of raglayim ledavar? Oh, there was kinoi and there's stira and. Well, that would seem like, okay, so during that same stira, then they have real raglayim ledavar to believe the Eid Echad of Tumah. But if the Eid Echad is after that stira, if the Eid Echad is at some other time, the raglayim ledavar is much less of a raglayim ledavar. So it seems to me that if, for whatever the reason, I'm really using raglayim ledavar, I'm really being darshin in time of the Kra, so then I have to go in Rashi's direction. However, for the Rambam, perhaps the idea is that's really a gzeiras hakosov of eid ein ba, you don't have two, you only have one. So therefore, for the Rambam, perhaps the idea is that the raglayim ledavar is not as necessary, and he might dismiss that this entire Gemara is only according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, who is darshin in time of the Kra. Again, this is Judaism according to me. I don't know. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, it's also fine. But Atara.
Couldn't you still say there's raglayim ledavar, even if it's a separate stira? Just meaning the fact that you know there was another stira, and now there's Tumah, you could say that's the raglayim ledavar, even though they didn't come.
You could say that, but it's much less of a raglayim ledavar. In other words, if I have Edom on the kinui, I have, let's say, Edom on the stira, and during that same time when you have the Edom that they are secluded, then the one aid comes and says she was nitmeis, there's a much stronger presumption that it's correct. No? As opposed to if the one aid comes at some random time after, then the presumption is weaker. Raglayim ledavar is a way of buttressing an Eid Echad who ordinarily would not be trustworthy. So I would say that if you really need raglayim ledavar, Rashi's Shita makes more sense. Okay. Should we go weiter? No one said anything, so I guess the answer is, hi, how are you?
Good.
Ms. Engel. How's Judaism?
Good, you got it. You said Mordechai. Did he resolve his answer, or just said the Mordechai is frustrated by the Gemara's question?
Mordechai is like frustrated by the Gemara's question. He tries to give some sort of answer. He brings up, I was talking to Michal and Sophie about this during, say, he talks about another case where the Gemara has Neima Amra Torah by Moda B'Miktas. Quite honestly, I don't remember precisely, but I don't recall that the Mordechai gives a really satisfactory answer. The kasha, like, is much more memorable than whatever the answer is. Good. Amalei Rav Papa La Abaya. Vaha ki ksiva kinui basar stira vituma hudiksiva. Right? This question is totally out of place, no? This is like a very fundamental question that we're assuming that you have kinui and then stira and then the Edei Tuma, right? Certainly if it's based on the Raglaim with Dovar presumption, so it has to be that the Edei Tuma is coming after the stira. But for the Gemara, but that order does not seem to be the order in the Torah. Because in the Torah, the word the kinui, v'avar alav ruach kin'ah, seems to be, the word v'avar alav appears after stira, and after tuma. So the Gemara answers, no, amalei v'avar means u'kvar avar, it already happened. Ela me'ata v'avar lachem kol chalutz. Hachanami, are you going to tell me that Ba'avar Lachem Kol Chalot, again, the Torah Matos writes that the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven requested Nachal on Eivar Hayarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, that's great, but you guys better go and fight. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ba'avar Lachem Kol Chalot, that you're going to go and lead the charge to conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, well, if the word Ba'avar means it previously happened, so that would mean Va'avar Lachem Kol Chalutz also means it already happened previously. Could that be? That doesn't make any sense, because the whole deal that Moshe Rabbeinu was making with them is that if you'll go and fight, right, then you will get it. If they already fought, so then the whole deal doesn't get off the ground. Nachon? So Gemara answers, no. Hasim Yiduk Siv Nich B'Shar Tzif Nei Hashem Achar Tashuvu Mashem Dil Haba. Basically, the Gemara says, well, over there, the psukim have to be that va'avar means later on. Over here, it can't mean that va'avar is later on, because it doesn't make any sense that va'avar, that the kinui, should come all the way at the end. My understanding of the Gemara over here is it's just telling me that, of course, kinui has to come beforehand, right? You warn people before it happens. To warn them after it happened is not really a warning. Nachon? I don't think there's that much to say about this Gemara. Does anyone have what to say about this Gemara, or should we just go on? We're trying to firm over, okay?
Yeah. I had a question on when the Rashi was there.
Sure.
Because from what we understood, it sounded like our Papa was saying that you only need one, that one it would still be believed even if there's no kinoi. But it could be we're just misunderstanding.
One aid is believed even without kinoi?
The end of the Rashi that starts with v'ha.
The Rashi begins v'ha?
Yeah,
v'ha kiks of kinoi basar. Stira v'tuma, the ishamin ba, eid echad k'sivin nistira v'hi nitma, v'ein ein ba, v'samach le v'avar alav, alma, below kinui nami eid echad mehemon v'tuma. In other words, Rashi is explaining within the hava amina.
Our
papa is asking a question. He's asking, are you going to tell me that kinui comes all the way at the end? In other words, kinui is after the tuma. That means that the aid of tuma is neman without any kinui. That can't be. So okay. The Gemara answers no. Va'avar means ukvar avar. It already happened previously.
Okay.
Right? Now, Rashi is just explaining the hava amina. He's like adding some teeth to it. Does that make sense, Tammy? Okay. Vayter. Tanit ve'Reb Yishmael. Ein Adam Mekane Leishto Ella Imkain Nichnasa Bo Ruach. Shene Emar Vaavar Alav Ruach Kina Vikine Is Ishto. I understand Nichnasa Bo Ruach as like there's something in the outside that like moves him. The person does kinoi only when he's moved by a certain spirit. So the Gemara derives this from a pasuk va'avar alav ruach ishto ruach va'avar alav ruach kina, that there's some ruach that the person is moved. He's moved by something. You get the impression that a person is always supposed to be balanced. A balanced person won't do kinoi. Kinoi comes when you're moved by a certain spirit. That's ruach kina. That's what the Gemara says. So you might ask, well, what type of ruach is it? My ruach. So Rabbanan Amri ruach tuma. Ravashi Amar ruach tahara. Umistavra kemanda Amar ruach tahara. Ditanya, etc. We'll talk about in a second. So there's a machlokes, what is moving the person? Is the person who does kinoi, the husband who does kinoi to his wife, is he moved by a ruach tuma or a ruach tahara? How would we translate the ruach tuma? It's like a negative feeling, a negative, the impulse of dukinoi is very bad. It's a jealousy, anger, right? We had all of those terms beforehand in terms of how we translate the word kinoi. That's ruach tuma. Ruach tahara is, you get an impression, you know, like these biblical prophets, like, oh, kedusha, I don't think of this like when I think of like the Vat Hatznius and the Yesha Arim, but like it's that type of thing. Like, Pritzis! Right? You know what I'm talking about? You've been there, right? So, that's Ruach, that the person is mamish, so moved, right? Again, the Gemara is assuming that Ruach Tahara means that the person is very serious and sincere when the person is moved to do kinui. So, basically, there's a question in the Gemara. Obviously, there's a ruach that moves you. Is it a ruach tuma or is it a ruach tahara? There's a machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rav Ashi. The Rabbanon says it's ruach tuma. Rav Ashi says ruach tahara. Now, this entire conversation is within Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. No? Rabbi Yishmael, by the way, what does Tana Devei mean? In the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael. Effectively, different Tanoim had their own Beit Midrash. I think the assumption is that the Talmidim in each Beit Midrash had a certain Derech HaLimud. Different Amoraim had, again, I am totally unprepared to talk about this, but like different Amoraim, different Tanoim had different ways of learning. So the students in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael said this idea. The assumption is that if the students in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael are saying the idea, so somehow that idea is attributable to Rabbi Yishmael himself. It does not say that this idea comes from Rabbi Yishmael. But I'm learning the Gemara, at least according to Rashi. The way Rashi learns this Gemara is that since the students of Rabbi Yishmael's Beis Medrash said it, Mistama Rabbi Yishmael agrees to it, and therefore it's Mistavra, like the opinion that Ruach Tahara, because Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva have a machlokes whether it is Rishus or Chova. And Ruach Tum'a does not fit in if it is Rishus or Chova. Only Ruach Tahara can fit in if it's Rishus or Chova. The way Rashi learns this Gemara, Mistavra Kemanda Omar, look at Rashi, De Ruach Tuk'amar Rabbi Yishmael, the Ruach that Rabbi Yishmael said, right, Rashi is blaming it on Rabbi Yishmael, even though it's coming from his base medrash. It has to be a ruach tahara. D'tanya d'ka'amar Rabbi Yishmael rishos. Rashi is basically learning that we're saying a l'shitasa within Rabbi Yishmael, and in fact, Many point out that Rashi probably does not have the Rabbi Akiva part of our Gemara, meaning the way we have the text in the Gemara, we have I Amrit Ruach Tuma Reshut V'Chuva Liyulei Inish Ruach Tuma Benavshe. You really don't need the word Chuva. That word Chuva is a Rabbi Akiva word, and according to Rashi, this entire Gemara is only within Rabbi Yishmael. Hello, Ms. Raklin.
Can it just be that the whole Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva machloket of Reshut and Chuva only works if you think that it's Ruach Tara, not Ruach Tumah?
So that could certainly be true, and that seems to be the way we have the Gemara. I'm just noting that the way Rashi sets up the Gemara, Rashi is setting it up only within Rabbi Yishmael. Mistavra that the Ruach that Rabbi Yishmael says is Ruach Tahara, because we see that Rabbi Yishmael says it's Rishus. Right? Rashi's going out of his way to tell me what Rabbi Yishmael said. You get an impression that for Rashi, the Rabbi Akiva part is like an afterthought in the Gemara, but really what the Gemara is doing is the Gemara is setting it up within Rabbi Yishmael. Make sense? You good there? Excellent. Okay, so now what we have over here is a machlokes about whether kinoi is reshus or chova. Rabbi Yishmael says if you want to do it, you could do it. Rabbi Akiva says no, you have to do kinoi. Okay, now we already. I'm just trying to think of which order to present ideas. Yeah, let's go on in the Gemara. Let's read a few more lines of the Gemara, then we'll do the Tosis, and then we'll talk about how we paskin. I think we have enough time for that. Gufa. Bikini esesh to reshus, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva says chova. Lo yitama. What's that pasuk lo yitama about? A kohen being metame to krovim. Exactly. Ordinarily, a kohen is not allowed to become tame. L'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. Vein parshas emar. Kiyam l'she'ero hakarov elav le'imo le'aviv levno levito le'achiv la'achos ha'psula shelo ha'isa le'ish lo yitama. Right? There are seven relatives that a kohen is allowed to become tame to. Son, daughter, father, mother, brother, sister, and spouse. Right? Those are the seven relatives. Spouse is actually a shayla, whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan.
Do we can become metame or can't?
That the kohen can be metame to a spouse, no? The kohen is not allowed to be metame to any mace, with the exception of immediate relatives. Now, all the relatives in that list, father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, are blood relatives. Your spouse is not a blood relative.
Oh,
a spouse is a relative by marriage. And that's a big chiddush of tonight, right? A spouse is a relative by marriage. So it also doesn't really say ishto in the pasuk. So this is a machlokas, Rambam and Ravid lahalacha, where the kohen's allowed to be metame to his wife, min ha-taira or not. But the Torah says a kohen is metame to a relative. Lo yitama. So there's a machlokis. What does that mean? Rabbi Yishmael says it's a reshus. Rabbi Akiva says it's a chova. Rabbi Akiva says that the kohen is mechuyiv to be metame to his wife. Lo olam behem tavodu is a reshus, according to Rabbi Yishmael. What's that pasuk about? Lo olam behem tavodu?
Freeing
an Eved Kenani. Right? The Torah writes that you are not allowed to free your Eved Kenani. They have to work for you forever. Rabbi Yishmael says it's a Rishus. Rabbi Akiva says it's a Chova. Right? So we have three cases in Judaism where there's a dispute between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, whether it's an option or whether it is an obligation. Is it a mitzvah chovah? It's like a razzle-dazzle way of saying mitzvah. And Rabbi Yishmael, in all these cases, says it's not a mitzvah. So, frek taisis akasha. How many mitzvahs do we have in Judaism? This is like 613, right? We have 613 mitzvahs. Everyone agreed with that? So far, good. Okay. So, Tema l'Rebbe. How can Rabbi Yishmael say that kinoy is a rishos, that lo yitama is a rishos, and lo olam antavod is a rishos, v'chi les lehu hada amar b'shulim meseches makis, that there are 613 mitzvahs that were nemru l'moshe misinai? What? Do you deny that there are taryag mitzvahs? That's like the most basic thing in Judaism. That there are 613 mitzvahs. Right? V'chi l'rabbi Yishmael d'amar rishos batzer lehu, Olu Rabbi Akiva, Tafi Lahu. See, Taisus isn't sure which way to go. Are you going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, you only have 610? Or maybe Rabbi Yishmael is the one that says you have 613. See, Rabbi Akiva says you have 616. Right? That doesn't make sense. So Taisus answers, V'nira de b'shar mitzvahs de mapik Rabbi Yishmael mikra avalei Rabbi Akiva asmachde v'darash le l'drash achrina. So Taisus basically answers, well, you have a list, and you put these in, you take the, it's like, you do the hokey pokey. Put one in, you take the other one out. Everything is grand, and that's how everyone agrees that there are 613 mitzvos. That's the way Tosa sets it up. Now, did we discuss this? What does it mean to be a mitzvah? That there are taryag mitzvos. Okay. Am I supposed to do all 613 mitzvos? No. Right? Some of the mitzvahs are things that I'm not supposed to do. That's like a no-brainer, right? Don't give your son lamolech. Don't do it, right? Like, okay? Sophie, I'm sorry for disappointing you, but no, you really shouldn't do it, right? I'm like, right? So they're laven. Okay, so laven you shouldn't do, but certain things are mitzvahs asay. Veheshev esak zeilash ar gazal. It's a mitzvah asay in the Torah that you're supposed to return stolen goods. So does that mean that I should try to be mekayim every mitzvah? So I should dafka steal something? It's mamash a brisker chumrah. No? I want to fulfill all the mitzvahs. What?
Divorce your wife.
Divorce your wife! Right? Are you going to tell me that that's like a mitzvah? Right? Yeah, it's a mitzvah. But mitzvah doesn't mean that you have to do stuff. Mitzvah just means it's a major topic that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. That's the first thing. Now, how many major topics are there? It's not abundantly clear. The Gemara in Makkos says that Darsh Reb Simloi, that there's 613 mitzvos, because Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, Torah is Gematria 611, and Anochi V'lo Yi'alocha, we heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam, advanced mathematics, 611 plus 2 equals 613. But then the Gemara goes on that, but this one, the Hamidam al this one, but this one, the Hamidam al this one, right? Eventually, Abacha Bakuk, the Hamidam al Achas, Tzadik Bamunaso Yichya, that basically we break down the number of mitzvos, and to a certain extent, it's a little bit arbitrary that you have 613 mitzvos. Right? When the Gemara, I don't think in that Gemara Makkos, when there are some who say, no, you don't have 613 mitzvos, I don't think that means that you don't have to do all of the other ones. Right? The Christians felt that, no? Because the end of that Gemara is that, B'ch Habakkuk, and he said, Tzadik b'munasol yichya, all you need is faith. Right? We believe that you actually have to do stuff in Judaism. You don't only have to believe. But the idea is that you're breaking it down in a more fundamental way. Mashal ma'hadar adomeh, you know, the Rambam has Yud Gimel Yikari ha'amuna. Rabbi Yosef Albo has... three, right? This Sefer, right, of Rabbi Sefer Ikarim of Rabbi Yosef Albo, he has only three Ikari Ha'emuna. It doesn't mean that there's any machlokes. It's just how I classify stuff. Mizengel.
Like in
Mikha, I'm agreeing with that question. Ma Hashem Shoa Kiim Avas Ches Hatznei Allah Chesem Hashem Elokecha. What does God want? Right? Now, does it mean that God doesn't want everything else? Right? Like, in the Torah also, Ma Hashem Shomim Machim Li Yira also. You're telling me there's only one mitzvah, Yira Shamayim? The answer is maybe, yeah. Maybe everything boils down to Yira Shamayim and Achanami. Right? But I don't think there's any machlokas. I don't think anyone really denies that they are all necessary. But there's a counting question over here. How do I count the 613? And among the Rishonim, of course, there are lots of different counts of the 613. The weird thing about the history of counting 613 mitzvos is this began as a tradition among Spanish paitonim for Leil Shavuos. Shavuos night, you have to stay up all night. Apparently they were staying up all night in Spanish communities before coffee. Because they could... No. Eliot Horowitz has this whole article about how the minig of staying up all night on Shavuos began with the spread of coffee, but Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabira was 11th century, and he wrote the Azharot, which is a list of 613 mitzvahs that people are supposed to say all night, Shavuos night. It's actually pretty short. You could probably do it in an hour, so maybe they didn't stay up all night. I don't know. But the point is that there were Sephardi traditions of what the 613 were. Reb Sadia Gaon had his list. It's a poem. The Sefer Mitzvah of Reb Sadia Gaon became three volumes because there's a commentary on it. The whole thing is probably two pages. It's just a very long commentary because each mitzvah is like half a sentence. This goes on throughout Jewish history. There have been people who... throughout Jewish history, there have been people who were trying to put together lists of the Taryag mitzvos. Because probably they're Taryag, that's the statement of Reb Simloi, and everything is grand. The Rambam is different than the others in that the Rambam tried to come up with rules and regulations as to what counts as one of the Taryag mitzvos. Hence the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos, which is what he wrote as like the scaffolding upon which he built the Mishneh Torah, no? The Yad HaChazaka, the Mishneh Torah, is basically a long commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam had the list of 613 mitzvos, but the Rambam tells me which things I count, which things I don't count. He has all these rules. Those are called the Yud Dalet Sharashim at the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos. The first one, obviously, is that the Rambam says the mitzvos have to be Nemru L'moshe Misinai, they have to be Do'iraisa, not Durabonon. Therefore, the Rambam argues on the Bahag that the Bahag counted a number of mitzvos Durabonon, like Neros Chanukah, like Halel. The Rambam assumes a Halel on Yontif is Durabonon. He says, Bahag, what are you talking about? You're counting Halel as a mitzvah? But again, there's like a whole lumdis that like everyone does. The Sefer Mitzvos is like awesome and amazing. So the Ramban comes, and the Ramban has hasagos, running comments on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the first hasaga that the Ramban has is, hey dude, who says there are 613 mitzvos? Yeah, Reb Simloi says that over there in Maseches Makis at the end. And yeah, there's a medrash that Rashi quotes al HaTorah, that tzitzis equals 613. Because tzitzis equals 600, and you have 8 strings and 5 knots, no? Rashi quotes ala Torah. First of all, that doesn't make any sense. Because if you have tcheles, you have to have a minimum of 7 knots. No? This whole drasha only makes sense when they don't have tcheles anymore. Like the Gemara says, if you have tcheles, you need shiva rikiyim. But you need at least 7... Rikiyim. I don't know, it's like Parshas Bereishis. I don't know how to say the word. But basically, the Ramban says, well, who says there are 613 mitzvahs? Maybe there aren't. And part of the Ramban's commentary is, well, look at Sota Daf Gimel, where there's a machlokas of Yishmael Rabbi Akiva, and obviously some assume there are no 613 mitzvahs. Right, that's what the Ramban writes. So what Tosfos says as a Dovar Poshet, obviously there's 613. And obviously what you have to do is put some in and take some out to keep that magic number 613. The Ramban endorses the Hava Amin of Tosfos. The Ramban says, who says there are 613 mitzvahs to begin with? Now, I don't think there is any machlokas lahalacha over here. It's just a question of what I count, what I don't count. Sometimes I'm machlokas in halacha in terms of, like, if the Ramban counts Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah and the Rambam doesn't, okay, so now we got to talk, right? But in this case, whether there's 613, there's not 613, I don't think that's a machlokas lahalacha at all. Adkan. Okay, so for so good women, ladies, let's go weiter. How should I pass him? Machlokas Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Kiva. Is kinei rishus or chova? And let's complicate the question a little bit more. This Gemara, Gimel Amud Aleph, says that kinei is optional or mandatory.
Didn't we also say it could be like you shouldn't
do it? Then we say you shouldn't do it. It's usur lekanos. Beis Amud Aleph. Excellent. Right? The Gemara Beis Amud Aleph says that hamikane la ishto, it's written in the Lashon b'diyeved. Rashi understands that the Mishnah added extra words which it didn't have to add. Taisus just feels that the word hamikane sounds b'diyeved, but you get an impression from that sugya that you're not supposed to do kinui. And the Gemara says that beis amid beis, that the word kinui means something that causes disagreements between people, between her and the whole world, or between him and her, and therefore the Gemara on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph says that all of these people hold it's usur lekanos. Kinui is usur. So what we really have is a big machlokas. There are three shitos: optional, mandatory, or forbidden. Those are the three shitos. So how should I paskin? So this is question one. Hold it. You have a comment, Atara?
No.
Hold it. Let's go weiter in Taisus, the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has like some different names than we have. The Yerushalmi has Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's a chiyuv, etc. Let's skip a little bit in the Tosis to Avokashami Yerushalmi. In my Taisus, it's right opposite where it says Le'el Beis Amid Beis. Avokashem Yerushalmi. You have it? Kashem Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Hasam Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua in the Yerushalmi says that Kinoi is an option. Umefarish Taima asks you the Rabbi Yeshua Kibes Hillel. The Beis Hillel Omrim, Afilu Hikdicha Tavshilo, Lefum Kain, Hu Omer Rishos. Ratzel Lekane, Yikane. Ratzel Lekarish, Yigarish. This is something that we encountered already. We saw Tosas HaRash on Beis Amid Beis, who quote the same Yerushalmi. But basically, the Yerushalmi says that the dispute as to whether Kinoi is Chova or Kinoi is Rishos depend on whether or not you're allowed to divorce your wife. Remember, Beis Shammai says that you're not supposed to divorce your wife, Ela im kein matzah ba'er vastavar. You can only divorce your wife if there's something really, really, a man can only divorce his wife if there's something really, really wrong going on. Er vastavar, she had like an affair or something. Then you can divorce her. Short of that, you can't. That would mean that according to Beis Shammai, if there's a problem, don't go through kinui, just divorce her. You see that she's having yichud, she's hanging around with people, don't do this whole kinui thing, just divorce her. Beis Hillel says, well, you're allowed to divorce her for easier things, afilu hikdicha tavshilo. So therefore, if you want to do kinui, you can. So effectively, what the Yerushalmi is doing is it's saying that the machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is a machlokes whether kinui is reshus or chova is the same machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now, How do I paskin? I paskin Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. General Judaism. We talk like Beis Hillel, right? That you're not supposed to, you paskin Beis Hillel, that if you want to divorce your wife, you can. Therefore, kinui should be a rishos. So here's the problem. The Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Akiva, that kinui is a chova. How do you paskin like Rabbi Akiva that kinui is a chova? First of all, don't you have to contend with the fact that the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph said that maybe kinui is usur? Second of all, right, to say that it's a chova would seem like Beis Shammai's position, and we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Those are the questions that we can ask on this Gemara. Now, within Tosis, how many of you finished the whole Tosis? Anyone? One? Anyone else? Now, it's within Tosis, he gets involved in a more complicated discussion within Rabbi Akiva and what Rabbi Akiva holds. Maybe we should hold this until next time we learn, but the Rashash over here has an interesting suggestion. Remember, here's our problem. How come I paskin, most Rishonim paskin, the Rambam paskins, that kinui is a chova, like Rabbi Akiva? It happens the Meiri over here quotes that we paskin that kinui is a reshus, even though we paskin lo yitama is a chova and the olam behem tavodu is a chova, the Meiri splits between them. But the Rambam paskins that kinui is a chova. How can kinui be a chova? Doesn't that line up with Beis Shammai? And we hold like Beis Hillel. Problem one. Problem two is that what about the sheet on Beis Amud Aleph that it's usur lekanos? So comes along the Rashash. And the Rashash says, well, I'm not convinced that Rashi read the Gemara properly. Earlier in the Gemara, we had Tanit Vei Rabbi Yishmael, that you only do kinui when a certain ruach enters you. And we're not sure, is that ruach tumah or ruach tahara? And the Gemara says, it's mistavra that it's ruach tahara. Right? Remember that line in the Gemara? Mistavra, it's logical that it's ruach tahara. Says the Rashash, when the Gemara uses the lashon mistavra, it's logical. It would seem that the logic has to be something that's compelling everywhere. Logic isn't something that it's logical that Rabbi Yishmael holds this. If I say the lashon mistavra, the Rashash comments, it's more reasonable that mistavra means that everyone should hold its ruach tahara. If everyone holds its ruach tahara, the Gemara says mistavra its ruach tahara. So says the Rashash. Very simple. That's why we paskin that it's a rishus. Because the Gemara is saying mistavra ruach tahara, and ruach tahara is the shita that's a rishus. I think the way the Rashash is setting up the Gemara is basically saying that la halacha, we're assuming that kinui is a that basically what this Gemara is saying, according to Rashash, excuse me, is that we're rejecting the idea of asur lekanos. The idea of the mistavra in the Gemara tells me that this idea that kinui is usur has to be completely rejected. Oh. Did anyone get into the part of the Gemara yet about Rosh Sisna Sachicha Bovavecha? Yes? Okay. So let's just make two ha'aros, because I don't think we have much more time than that. Or maybe one ha'ara. The Gemara basically says that really kinui should be usur, because the Torah writes, Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha, that you're not allowed to hate people. So I need the pasuk to tell me that no, you're allowed to do kinui, meaning you're allowed to do kinui, not that kinui is mandatory. So we're learning, right? I would have thought kinui is usur. Kamashmla, and the Torah tells me that kinui is mutter, meaning kinui is not a violation of Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. Well, Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha is like a very strange pasuk. The Torah writes, don't hate someone, but instead, hocheach tochiach es amisecha. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deos, in Perek Vav, that you only violate the iser of Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha if you keep it to yourself. But if I walk over to you and I say, I'm angry at you, I'm upset, I have tainas on you, that's not Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha means only if I have it in my heart. But if I articulate it, there is no avera of Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. This is like an unbelievable Rambam, because the Rambam is telling you that if you want to be frum, you should be really mean and go over to someone and say, I hate you. Oh, no avera. Avera is only Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. Right? It's great, no?
Before the time we didn't tell them, though, is there an avera?
Again?
Like, the time that passed before you told them, is there an avera in that time? Because you haven't told them yet.
So, it's not abundantly clear. What you're saying might be a very good suggestion, but give me 2 minutes. See, the problem is, the Rambam seems to be against our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that I would think that kinui is a violation of Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. But hello, kinui has to be articulated. If it has to be articulated, it can't be Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha. Because once you're saying it, it's not belave. So now, Temi, say what you just said.
Until you say it,
maybe you're in violation of the Avera. That's what the Avodas HaMelech says. Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle, Rav Menachem Krakovsky, who wrote a sefer called Avodas HaMelech, on that Rambam, Perek Vav of Deos. Rav Menachem Krakovsky suggests, he asks the Kasha, that isn't our Gemara against the Rambam? So he answers, well, you know what? You hated the person belave beforehand. Now, it's not abundantly clear, though, from the Rambam. In fact, if you read the Rambam carefully, I'm under the impression, though, that Temi is wrong. Because it could be that Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me not to walk around with a grudge. Once I say it, so then l'mafreya, I didn't violate the whole avera. I'm not supposed to be angry in my heart. Once I say, oh, I'm really upset, what emerges is, I didn't find it. Elisheva?
But according to, having time understanding it also, how does that fit in if you say it was like a growth tumah that was like a part, like it works with if you say that he didn't know
because of
growth tumah, but
if
he didn't
because of growth tahara. Again, so the Gemara is working within Rabbi Yishmael, and the Gemara said that both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva assume it's Ruch Tahara.
Right. So then how could you say it doesn't seem like he has, I would have thought
that you're doing an Aveir of Lo tisna sachicha belovavecha kamash malan.
No, but the Ruch Tahara is assuming that he's not really so upset at her. It's more he has this like...
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, what you're suggesting is that if, in fact, you violated the Aveir of Lo tisna sachicha before you articulated it,
yeah,
then you can't call it Ruach Tahara.
Yeah.
Right? The Gemara is assuming that's Ruach Tahara. How could I call it Ruach Tahara if I was already in violation of this Aveira?
Or how could you be in violation of the Aveira? Like, how could you even have that suggestion if you say...
They contradict each other. That's a good point. Take a look for next time at the She'otos, which I quoted on the source sheet. If you're ambitious, look at the Ramban al Hatayra on the Pasuk Lo Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. And you have to tell me if the Ramban is... the Shildos is going to be different than the Rambam. You have to tell me, is the Ramban the same as the Shiltos, or the same as the Rambam, or is it a third Shita? That's what we'll have to focus on next time. And again, next time, I just want to plow on in the Gemara and talk about Lo Yitama a little bit, and I'll give you some more Makoros on this. And we should have a wonderful Monday evening, and hope that Houston wins the World Series.